The other day I was reading this shit. Saying it was talking about how the white people.
Yes, sir. Let me dig into your brain. Folks falling like rain. Property got me selling things. Guess I'm gonna explain. Jane is rolled up, no gangs be throwed up. Jane is rolled up, no gangs be throwed up.
But there's only so much time left in this crazy world. I'm just crumbling there. I'm just crumbling there.
Hey, what's happening? What's happening? My Stiletto Stoners and the Conscious Conrads. What's up? Salute. We got a special treat, man. An interview I did. Figured we'd flip it on ours. But if you get a chance, go check out the Cannabis Community Project. That's Cannabis Community Project. My man Brainstorm over there. Big ups, man. You know what I'm saying? Peace out to you. And matter of fact, me and Air are going to be in the Denver area, man. We got any fans out there, man. Holla at us. You know what I'm saying? L trying to get some of that Skywalker.
That's what the rumor said.
Anyway, y'all check this out, man. If you like it, remember, go to HERBBOXX.com and we'll check y'all out on down the line. Those who know me as KB. Those who don't know me, my name is Kenya Brantley. And those who I have taught, I'm Coach B. Coach. She's going to be smiling a little bit.
I'm curious because I want to know how you found the show. And everything. I mean, you told me a whole bunch on the phone, but just right. For the sake of recording.
Yeah,
I got my own ego, just go ahead and...
All right, man, let me start with this. Just really introducing the whole process of... It was a timeline to all of this. I guess you could say this started 92 with the Chronic album with Dr. Dre. And I think that set it off for everybody. Really, the hip-hop community, because I noticed when you had Lee Rick on, you know, say Lee Lyric with the lyric. With the Hip Hop for Shoes, I mean, it started right there with the Chronic. And now you see Snoop, after what, 20-some years, is still performing here at the Cannabis Cup. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it started there. I mean, that's when really, I think, for me, for us, that's when really music, the hip hop, the weed, the culture of it, all came in the two. And then, you know, I graduated from college and went on. Fortunately, I won't say unfortunately, I have a retina disease called retinitis pigmentosis. Now, I played football in college and I coached and taught for 22 years. This past December 23rd, I had to hang it up because I was getting where I couldn't perform at the level that I wanted to. If all your life, you know, this is what you've done, it wasn't a job to me. I just woke up in the morning. You know, I went from playing football in high school and college to then coaching it. And I was a PE teacher, so I played dodgeball every day. You know, I love what I truly did. And I love the community and I love the kids. Sitting there and thinking about what to do, I'm in a little depression, and then I appreciate me and my family. I really have to give it up to my family and my friends, my community. When I say my community, I mean, it's a brotherhood of us. I mean, we like the original Wu-Tang Clan. It's like 12 of us from the neighborhood, man, and we all leaders. For them to say, man, you know, why you moping? You know, it's so what? You're going to be, you visually impaired. Well, you know, they didn't never look down on me. But the particular night I saw MSNBC, they had the documentary about America, weed, America,
weed country, or something.
And I'm sitting there just looking at it, eating some graham crackers, my favorite. The guy said, "Oh, by the year 2020, this will be over $100 billion business." And when I heard $100 billion, I jumped literally off my couch, said, "What? I got to get a piece of that." You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get a piece of that. The next day, I went to the gym to work out like usual. I usually do a warm up on the cardio, and I was like, I'm gonna look up something with marijuana. I typed in marijuana business on the podcast, and yours came up. Cannabis Community Project. And I was like, what is this? Now, mind you, I had to go back. I heard like in the middle of a show. So I went back to number 3 as far as I could. I started listening to it. You know, you was talking in a way not condescending, and you kept saying in your podcast, you said, this is the time for us to take serious the business of cannabis. You just kept saying the business of cannabis, and you kept saying this, the new untamed territory. You kept saying that, and we want to get into the business of cannabis. You know what you were saying, you know? Yeah, I got to tell you, but you just kept saying it. Now, this is not even 24 hours after I just seen the Weed Country. The man said $100 billion business. I was like, well, what can I do? You know what I'm saying? And the people that you had on was, at the time, you had a couple of people on. You had the human resource guy, and you know, you just had different guests. You had a couple of different guests that came on. So I'm listening to one. It was just addictive. So I finished my workout, and that night I just listened to about 3 or 4 shows back to back. And you just kept saying stuff, and I was like, I gotta do something. Like, it's something I have to do. Well, mind you, this was the 1st of November.
And, last year.
Yeah, 2014. So I had already put in my leave of absence because I knew I was going to retire. But as a teacher, you can get full credit year if you retire in December. But, you know, I had to put in my leave of absence. And plus, I had a lot of sick days. You know, I'm a PE teacher. I never really miss. I mean, what for what I'm going to miss for? You know what I'm saying? So it gave me time to sit and think, you know, start thinking about doing something. Well, like anything, you know, since I was listening about weed all the time, I was like, shit, I feel like, you know, smoking. And back in the day, we kept our weed in a Crown Raw bag. I put that in, it was all dried up. And I was like, it clicked. I need to find something to put it in. And that's all I said to myself. Well, to go back, my best friend, I mean, you know what I'm saying, brother from another mother, his wife, unfortunately, had breast cancer. She couldn't go through the chemo. She just find it difficult. Around that time, now mind you, this was November, he calls me up, and I mean, he's a start, man. I mean, you know, you see a grown man that's sick behind his wife that's really, you know, you love your wife. You don't want to see your wife suffer. And he was like, I can't witness it, man. It's sickening. And I was like, let's see what we can do. Let's, you know, get her some weed. He said, man, she won't touch that stuff. You know, she won't. And so we got her some liquid because she really wouldn't touch it because she said it stinks. That stuff stinks. And I don't want to have it, you know. And that's when it really hit me. What if I made something and I took away the smell? You know, I get something to take away smell. And I was like, what if I put it in something? She said, well, yeah, but then where am I going to put it? In the drawer, in the sock, or, you know, where you going to hold it at? Boom. It clicked right there. I said, I want to make a container. And I started looking at containers. Well, everybody was making the wood containers, the cedar and whatnot. I wanted something fly, you know, and to go back to hip hop because I grew up in hip hop. It's what grew me up. And Jay-Z and Biggie, we all wanted that fly lifestyle. You know, we wanted to look good. We might not have a dime in our pocket, but we're going to look sharp, you know. Now, I want to make this box for that because I started thinking about you, what you were saying. You got to carve out the business of cannabis. I was like, whoa. Wait a minute. This brother's still 38 years old, 48 years old, still putting it in the Crown Raw bag again. Not to, you know, give anything to Crown Raw, you know. And I say, nah, not no more. I'm going to make a box that they can be proud of. Now, there's going to be your purists that say, nah, I want to keep it in a cedar box. And no disrespect. But usually that's the dude that likes to nerd out about the different strands. And ain't trying, you know. But I wanted something real nice and elegant, exquisite colors and superior craftsmanship that you could have and pull out while listening to a nice Marvin Gaye sipping on some wine. I'm a big wine drinker. Again, you know, I just thought that this was the time. It was time for me to do it. And then I got with a great manufacturer. And these guys were perfect because I went to many manufacturers. I got the door slammed in my face. You know what I'm saying? Really bad. And, you know, and I took it real personal. I took it real personal because I would go there and I had a prototype and I had a CAD drawing of what I wanted. And just because the word cannabis, marijuana, they didn't want to touch it. Matter of fact, I had one guy that was manufacturing. He said, well, I don't think I can really do your project. I'm doing cigar ashtrays. I said, cigar ashtrays? Okay. I'm not going to knock it, but why, sir, why not? Well, I just don't want it to mess with my brand. And I quoted him, too. I said, man, this is about to be over a $100 billion business in 2020. Are you serious? I guarantee you nobody's buying no cigar ashtrays. No times, you know, not in that number. I ran across a great manufacturer right out of Dallas, Texas, man called Artifactors Studio. It's like instead of manufacturers, artifactors. And they're manufacturing things that with a twist of art. And that's exactly what I wanted to do, man. And if you see the boxes. It's unique. It's very unique. And you know, a lot of people, you know, well, why did you make it like this, or why did you do it like this? And I think I did a good job, and I'm still ironing out the kinks. I like it. I really like it. I keep thinking in mind of, unfortunately, you know, your soccer mom might get breast cancer or cervix cancer or whatnot, and she's going through chemo, but she's not going to get a box to hold it that has a weed leaf on it or a pirate head or, you know, 420. Right. She don't even know what 420 is. You know, something that's real nice. Or right. Your brother, your dude that's coming home from work, he probably works downtown and he just want to, you know, stress that.
It has to be respectable. It has to look nice. And it definitely does. And we'll make sure to get lots of pictures and put them up on Facebook and take some videos so everybody can see it. It looks very elegant, and it's conspicuous, right? I mean, it looks like a building block. It looks like if you open it, you might find perfume.
Yeah, you know, people will say what it looks like. I wanted to make it with a look that one that you could, I mean, because we're out of the closet now, you right. know, I don't hate to use it. It's no longer the drug that you in your mama's basement, right. You know what I mean? You got to roll around in your car, right. Drive two or three blocks. Nah, it's now that you can have it. It's a conversation piece that you can have right on your thing that you can have. I would have had this when I was in college instead of us being in the dorms, you know what I mean?
The Crown Royal bag?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not the room, but...
Well, your story itself is a tribute to how much things have changed, because you're talking about being motivated by simply thinking about marijuana,
right?
For lack of any other words, which is the complete contradictory to what everybody traditionally has thought. So you might be the first documented person who was inspired and motivated to start a business because of weed.
Right? Yeah.
You and, you know, me and a few other people, but this is what's happening, just right. What you said. I mean, yeah. This is right now what you're doing. You came here to Denver to participate in one of the biggest events probably this year. I won't say in history because I don't know, and I can't right. say in the future, but this is probably one of the biggest events, the Denver Cannabis Cup 2015,
right.
Especially after last year when it set the precedent.
Right.
Why don't we step back just a couple, because you gave us a lot of information there.
Sure.
And I want to make sure people understand everything from your product to where right. you're coming from. So you're coming from where, literally?
I'm coming from Dallas, Texas. From Dallas, Texas.
And you flew up here to Denver this weekend.
Yeah,
this is the 420 weekend.
Yeah.
This is Friday. We're sitting downtown, literally in the Holiday Inn.
Really, just I came up here, really, man, with a game face on, to meet you. I mean, I really, and I will tell you, man, I really appreciate it. I haven't been. You know, it's been several key things in my life that have guided me to something that really has touched me, that moved me. Starting off when I was young male, I'm not going to, you know, I was a, you know, for those who know about hip hop, again, hip hop definitely moved me, but to be a 5%er, that was a, you know, the gods of the earth. Growing up as a young male, and that moved me and motivated me reading Malcolm X books back in, what, 89, I think. That started the starting block, like I said, hip-hop, to, like, you know, own your own. I mean, we're talking about this now when, in the hip-hop community, Damon Dash, if you know him from Rockefeller Records, that was with Jay-Z, you know, he was talking about, we got to start building, we got to start owning our stuff. And as hip-hop music, as we say, the Cannabis Cup, because hip-hop and this cannabis is run neck and neck. I mean, one of the greatest albums, not the White Album by the Beatles, Dr. Dre, the Chronic album. I mean, from that, you spawned off Eminem. You spawned off Dre beat headphones, and it goes on. You sprawling off
from
Snoop
an industry standpoint,
right? You know right. what I'm saying? And so right. this music has done it, and it's hand in hand. And so to build that and be a part, and that's what I want Herbbox to be. Like, I can get a piece of this. I'm gonna get a piece of this.
So what I hear you saying is that I should go around to the Cannabis Cup and the Holiday Inn and take my percentage of the money you've brought to them because you came here for me.
Well, I mean, hey, so you know, what I'm saying?
I got to make sure to get my 10%.
I mean, I appreciate. And that's what I said. And that's why I said
tickets you pay.
That's what it motivated me to when listening to your pocketbook, because
I'm bringing money to Denver.
Right,
I'm a job creator.
I mean, and not only that though, I want to tell you that because you also inspired me to start podcasting, because I didn't want to sit down after, and I touched on it, having a RP, which is retinitis pigmentosis, and I didn't want to be in the dark. Like, what is this? I got angry. I got angry. It wasn't nobody to get angry
at.
What
is it? Does it make you blind?
What it does is tunnel your vision after a while. It's kind of like having arthritis of the retina. And you know, a lot of people, if you see me, they'll say, well, you don't look blind. And I don't, you know, I mean, I'm a pretty big dude. I still work out. And, you know, So I was angry, but I didn't want to be that angry, bitter guy. So I started reaching out. I wanted to see if it was others like me.
Well, in what sense are you handicapped?
I'm legally blind. I'm definitely legally blind. I gave up the car keys.
But what can and can't you see? You can see me sitting here.
Yeah. I see you.
Clearly? I mean.
I see. If you step back about a couple of more feet, it's going to be a little problem. It takes me a while to focus. It really is a more of a night blindness. I can see you because we're sitting here and the light, if the people probably can to describe it, we're sitting by the window, so the light is shining in. But if you notice on the other side of him, it's dark in the room, so it'll take, that's why I can focus and kind of catch a glimpse of you.
So are you a medicinal user to help alleviate this? Is this...
Not really. I wouldn't say I've been... Because right now, with your eye pressure, you know, your eye pressure is supposed to fall between 14 to 18 of your eye pressure. And glaucoma is the only really eye disease that marijuana helps alleviate the eye pressure from your eyes. With retinitis pigmentosis, it's so rare of a disease.
Yeah.
It's truly rare of a disease. Although it's so rare, My podcast is just not about, oh, let me talk to all the visually impaired blind people. Nah, that wasn't. What I wanted to do is talk to every group and individual that has overcome the obstacle, because they're not disabled. I like to use differently abled, you know, because we all have, you know, challenges we go through. And right now, with mental health as being where the number one driving force, we got a lot of soldiers coming back. Not even soldiers. Man, let me... How about as a teacher?
Are you ex-military also?
No. But as a teacher, I mean, we got kids that have PTSD.
Yeah.
Just living in, you know, as you call the urban communities, you're going to have struggles and stress just living there. You know what I mean? Dealing with that every day. Sometimes school is the safest place, you know, and I've been in the battle zone and I've seen it. And I've seen kids come to school. That's their time away, because from that 8 to 3, they don't have to worry about a meal. I've taught 22 years. I've taught everything from high school to middle school. I retired from Dallas ISD, but I've taught, for those who know, Richardson ISD, Grand Prairie ISD. I've coached high school ball, middle school.
Teenagers.
Yeah, and I've coached even the little bitty babies. I didn't like the little babies at first, you know, when I got them. But when I tell you, man, every day they run to you. First thing in the morning, coach, can we play? You know, I make up crazy games. Space Invaders.
Excited to be there.
I would use the scooters, but we would play dodgeball with the scooters. That was the game. I should have patented that game. We played dodgeball with scooters, but you had to sit down on the scooters, and we called it Space Invaders. Man, they love that game. And you can go to your old favorite. You go to relays. You can't lose relay racing. Why change careers then? I had to retire. I retired. My eyesight was getting... I'm in the gym. Uh-huh. And I usually have 60-plus kids in the gym.
So you're forced to retire.
So I wouldn't say I forced. I walked on my own.
The short future coming.
Yeah, exactly. And I was in grad school. To be a TVI, and that was a teacher of the visually impaired. So I was like, well, I guess it'll be the blind leading the blind. But then I started thinking, right now, that's not going to work for me. That's not, I don't know. Once I got into listening more to you, really taking it serious, really seeing the whole process of you know, really seeing your product, really, you know, meeting with people about websites, really behind. People just think, like, they'll see, when they click on something, they just see that product. I didn't know how hard it was. And when they hear this podcast, they think like, oh, you just got a microphone and we start talking. I jumped in and then I kind of thought that. But once I got into a studio and after even talking to you and you giving me the tips and the pro and just was in there editing and really taking this out and really listening to myself over and seeing how can I make myself better. It's a lot harder. Like you said, you can take a 15 to 20 minute podcast and work on it 15, 20 hours. Right? You know what I mean? So people don't see the hard work behind it.
You can, but there's probably 80% of people podcasting that don't.
Right.
Because the impression is, well, just pick up a microphone, talk about something, upload it to the internet, and then now you're a podcaster.
Right.
I mean, you can do that, and many, right. many people do that. I'm trying to take it more like a show-type format and make it a show like a radio show or another type of show, and it takes a long time.
Right, and it is.
It takes a long time to produce a show, and it takes an even longer time to get an audience, you know, stumbling across you and listening. Because I don't have a network of people advertising and billboards, and I don't have a...
You got one here. You got one here.
Right.
Herbbox, HERBBOXX.com.
This is all it takes is me simply reaching out to a company and saying, hey, can I talk about you? Them being on the show and then introducing me to their audience, me getting introduced to, you know, vice versa.
Right.
And then little by little. I mean, this is how I think, I mean, organic media happens rather than plastering billboards and TV ads and $1 million to direct people towards the show. This is all I got, is just meeting people like you,
right.
talking to you, and then hopefully you'll go back to your audience and tell somebody else.
Exactly. But see, that's, and I hate to keep saying, well, no, I don't. I don't hate to keep saying it because, again, I love it. This is like hip hop. It's like two turntables and a microphone. This is it. And you take the basis of that. You take your MC, you take your DJ, you take your beatboxing, graffiti writing, breakdancing, entrepreneurship. But that's where it comes from. It's the basis of that. And that's where we can, okay, we can beat that big machine out there that's going to keep trying to dictate right. what's on the radio. And you, there's so many spins, or they're going to dictate right. what is going to be marketed to us and push down our throats. When we can go out here and do it ourselves and meet with the real people that's going to listen, even the hip hop podcast, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of for those too, and they take it just like you, like a real show, and they're reaching out and having, and you're starting to see other businesses breaking through, other entrepreneurs like yeah. Get Bevel, you know, shaving it with Nas branched out. I mean, so it's all coming too. So Herbbox is coming, you know, I'm coming. I see other competition. I'm small right now, like, you know, Snoop. I hope to see you, Snoop, out there. I see you got your box. Baby, you know, man, I'm coming for you though, Uncle Snoop. I'm coming for you.
Tomorrow, I'm hosting a party with Young Fate down in Colorado Springs, who was voted best rapper in Colorado. Who, you know,
is that guy you had on one episode?
Yeah.
You played some music.
Yeah, why
that dude?
Else?
Hey,
Young
he,
Fate.
Yeah, he goes hard in the paint. I like that dude. The beats was.
He just got back from California from meeting with Sony. He uh-huh. just 2 months ago was voted best rapper in California. He's in a competition right now,
right.
working his way up the charts. I would have never in my life met somebody like that. But because of the show,
right.
it brought me together with him.
Right, right.
Now we're hosting a party together in the Springs tomorrow.
Right.
And this is kind of where that relationship is, that, you know, it doesn't have to just be hip hop. It's that same organic beginnings of talking to one person, talking to another people, and then two people from different worlds
Bingo.
Colliding together
exactly.
in the middle. This is why I get to talk to patients, and then the next day talk to a president of a company wearing a suit and tie at his office, and then the next day hang out at a grow house and all over the place. But it's all because of cannabis, which in a sense, like you're saying, is hip hop. It's right. that roots of what everything is centered around, what right now is bringing everybody together. Products right. like yourself, media. Let's talk about your products since we have it
sure.
out here.
Herbbox.
Since you were nice enough
with two
to
eggs.
Buy a plane ticket to deliver it personally to me.
Oh, for sure. And t-shirt. And t-shirt, you know.
The least we can do is find out all about it.
When I was teaching, the lady you had on, Mouse.
Yeah, Mouse is edibles.
You're right. And she has chrome. Well, when I first started teaching, when I was about 29, 30, when I noticed this teacher was losing her hair and she was, you know, missing a lot of days, I didn't know what chrome disease was to put a face on it. Because when you're young like that, you think that you're going to live forever. You don't ever think something's gonna happen. I didn't really start losing my sight until about 38. And when I found out I was losing it,
exactly my age.
Yeah.
That would be like me right now starting to lose my sight.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, when I went to the doctor to find out that it was happening, I ran a marathon. I thought if I work out more, if I start eating a little bit better, you know, lift a little bit more, that this will go away. Basically, what I was doing was running from the whole problem. And at the same time, though, it was therapeutic, because just running, training for that thing, sometimes I would stop and look around because I could really hear myself think. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally was talking. And then, you know, of course, you know, I had to break down times and cry while you're out there running, but nobody's out there to see you. You know right. what I mean? You know, you just out there running and you think about it. You know, I held on. You know, I'm 47 and I still take some young boys to the yard. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm here to say that it's a face on it. You know, I mean, everybody's is faced with something, and right. that's what I'm faced with, you know. And so to hear her talk, and I don't know about you, but what was really, that really touched me about that interview is, you know, her husband. How he was in the trenches with her, man, and he's trying to find every solution yeah. for that lady. You could see that he was like, I'm trying to grow whatever just yeah. to keep her healthy. That's how it started off. He was just trying to, let's try something. Yeah. Remember he said that? He was like, I just want to try anything I can to keep, you know. And I was
really worried with that interview because it was done over the phone and the yeah. audio quality was not the best. And I was really right. worried people weren't going to be able to hear it. And really get a clear sense of what was
yeah,
going on.
Yeah, it was deep. Now he did kind of trip me out with the little cult group or whatever he was with. That kind of like, I was like, what?
Yeah, the clampers.
Yeah, I was like, okay, man, you know, let's. Now, you could really hear, you know, he loves that lady, you know, and to see what he's doing, it's not, they're not trying to, and that's why they kept telling you, because you kept asking him, well, what's your numbers? And what, you know, he's like, hey, we don't have all this. We start doing it, it's helping her, and we start to help other people, and then they just kind of, the business jumped into their lap, and it's just growing and growing, because it's got to be a face on it. It's not, this sick lady and she's over here, because luckily I got a good strong family and good friends. And my thing is the parents. I like the kids, because I'm coming from the teacher background. Where do they start? Where would they go? They don't know. They don't know. And I was luckily, we ran into a lady. I met her. It's a big thing for mostly low vision kids to have right. this big, you know, it's kind of like Special Olympics, but it's big. And this parent, man, I mean, she goes, well, a lot of all the parents go way and beyond, but she really, and I'm going to have her on. And, you know, and so parents like that, they don't know where to go. They just feel isolated. So I would love to just help the ones, the parents and the kids, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the best of my background teaching.
As we could probably talk for hours and hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to let you go. I know.
So all that means is that we just have to talk more, right? So we just have to do it at different times and keep
right.
talking.
Okay.
This has been great. I appreciate you giving me all the praise you have, and I accept all of it and humbly reject it all, because obviously you had this in you the whole time. All I did was maybe just give you the idea that you can do it now rather than later. And I don't even know if that makes me anything more than just chance luck that you happen to hear something. But the motivation was obviously already in you. I don't think you, with or without my show, I don't think you'd be in any different situation. Maybe a few months later, maybe you'd still be toying with the idea, maybe not. I think ultimately you're going to end up where you're ending up now. That seems like the kind of person you are. So, you know, thank you very much for all you've said.
You're definitely welcome,
I guess,
man. I appreciate it.
You're my first official fan, documented
right.
fan.
Right.
My first documented fan in that sense.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, you know, it was insightful and informative and inspirational. And that's what I want my show. I really copy off of you. And there's others out there. You know, you have high times. And
well, maybe
you know,
I can come on your show.
Yeah, man.
And maybe
I would
we
love,
can talk
you know.
About something that's,
Facebook, it wasn't. I'm getting that too. That just wasn't my. But now I know I'm doing a business,
right.
And so you have to do those things. It never was my cup of tea. If I didn't talk to you in high school, in the hell you think I'm gonna talk to you now? You know that I'm 47 years old.
Right.
You know, and like I said, the group of friends and the brotherhood that I got, we grew up with each other. We're not gonna Facebook each other when I can pick up the phone and call them. But when I'm doing the business, I will be on Facebook too. But for right now, HERBBOXX.com, and Cannabis Community Project, check me there. And you keep locked in on this show and everybody, and be inspired. Jump into this, man. Just don't spend your time. It's not just about 420. And, but right now, I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm definitely blessed, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm motivated. And I want our culture. And when I say, then that's why I started off the segment of talking about hip hop, because that's my culture. Like KRS-One said, rap is just something you do. Hip hop is something you live, and we're living this. And we're living this. This cannabis culture that we're going to the Cannabis Cup, this is our culture. And it's going to go the way we control it. Right now, the big business are in it. They're not doing it, and we can control it. It's not about just partying and 420. We're not the stoner in the basement. I mean, we are highly educated people here. I mean, you're sitting in right here with, I have an undergrad, you know, master's. This man has, you know, undergrad and master's. We're not dummies here. We're not the typical, hey, dude. That's dead. It's dead, those stereotypes, man. And let's take our culture about the business of being business before they come in and they take over and try to dictate to us what we've been doing long. We can't let them take it away, just like we can't let them take the hip-hop away. We can't let them take our music away. We can't let them take our voices away when it comes to this cannabis, because we know what sells. But they're going to come in here, oh, I'm kind of herb box, and next thing you know, a year down the line, you're going to see Gucci with their version of a box. Yeah, come on, man. They could care less, long as they pay the dollar. But we're here to dictate what goes on in our culture. And that's what I'm about. I'm just not about the money. And if everybody knows, I mean, we brotherhood together, and we break bread together, and we smoke together. And, you know, it's not about all of that. I just don't want the business to be about. I want us to be about the business, but also be about our business, the ones who started from the root of this. So the Cannabis Community Project, and notice how you have that middle word, very important. The community, and it's our community, and it's ours, and I'm a part of it. I'm way from Dallas, Texas, to come here, and this man has motivated me to come here to Colorado, man. And I'm overwhelmed. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
And to be a part of this community, and I want us to be about that. And so if I was inspired and informed and I moved on, I hope I can do the same. And I hope that there's, you know, another one that comes behind us that's in college right now. If you're going to school to marketing or finance, yo, you know what? Don't go work for somebody else. You work for yourself. Why are you going to go to school 4 years to learn to work for somebody else when you can work for yourself? It don't make no sense. You can do it here. You're smoking anyway. Why are you sitting up there trying to think about the deep whatever and the beyond? You know what? Think about empowering yourself and being about this community. But if not, you know, 420 is one day. We're talking about 364. So that one day is for those who want to just, you know, do whatever. But we got 364 here that we live in every day that we're trying to. We got families. We fathers. We mothers. We're taxpayers. We, you know, we're not just bums out here. We're not just live by in the basement. So I thank you, and I appreciate it, man. And peace to everybody out there. Love. Thanks. One love.
Yeah, that's a great way to go out. That's perfect. That was awesome.